beginning at verse 1. But David thought to himself, "One of these days I will be completely destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing that I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand." So David and the 600 men with him left, and they went over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. And David and his men settled in Gath with Achish, each man and his family with him, and David and his two wives, Adonim of Jezreel and Abigail, who we learned last week, of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. We're going to please stop the reading here. We'll be referring to this chapter, and the Lord adds his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for your word and its truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive from you this morning. As we gather before you and as we sit in your presence, take from these few moments anything that would distract us, that we can hear and focus on you. Lord, that your heart and our hearts would be open before you, that you can lift us up and give us hope in the midst of our down times. That we too can find that hope in you through Jesus, our Savior, in whom we pray. Amen. One of my favorite singers, Kim's favorite, as you know, Donny Osmond, everybody knows that. But one of my favorite singers is Karen Carpenter. I just love her voice. And she had a voice that was as smooth as butter. And every time I hear her sing, I just kind of, And I know a lot of her songs, but she has a song called Rainy Days and Mondays. And the words say, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. There's something about Monday mornings or rainy days sometimes that we just feel the blahs or down. In the classic that was written by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress, it tells the story of a man named Pilgrim, Christian, who represents us in the journey of life from the city of destruction to the celestial city, and all the things that he encountered along the way. If you never read it, it's a classic. It's a great book. But one of the parts is his journey. He falls into what's called the slough of despond or despondency. And he falls into this pit, and he gets hopeless, like everything around him, he's not ever going to get out of this pit, and this gloom and depression and despair falls on him. If you've ever seen Hee Haw, you know how the men get together and they sing Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me, Deep, Dark Depression, Decessive Misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I've had no luck at all. Gloom, Despair, Agony on Me. That's how Pilgrim felt at that point, till finally he was able to get himself out of this low of despondency and continue to move on in his journey. Where we come to in chapter 27 of Samuel, in David's life, that's where we find him this morning. We find David sunk down into a pit in a low point of his life, and he's been through so much, as we've seen. And now he's fallen deep into this pit, and depression, a cloud hangs over him, discouragement, and he's probably at that point where he felt like singing, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." And you say, well, why is David in that point? And that's where we find him this morning. And we're going to look at this chapter in more detail. To help us understand a little bit of where David has been at this point, Alan Carr, in his commentary on David's description of David's life, describes it this way. And I'm going to read it from him because he puts it in words that is good for us to understand. I can express a lot better than me. But he says, place yourself in David's sandals for this moment. He said, you were told as a teenager that you were going to be the next king of Israel. Samuel, the old man of God, came and anointed you for that office. The next thing you know, you are in the royal palace playing and singing for the king. Then, like a whirlwind, one activity after another took place and brought your life into that place of national prominence. You killed Goliath with a single stone, thrown from your sling. You were promoted into the army and made the captain over 1,000 men. You married the king's daughter and became best friends with the king's son. It seemed like everything and every event of life was bringing you closer to the day when you would step up and claim the throne of the land as your own. At that point, you have the world by the tail. Everything's going great. But then things began to happen. Cracks began to appear in the perfectly constructed life that you had enjoyed so much. You fell out of favor with the king, and he even tried to kill you. Your relationship with your wife came to an end. You could no longer have fellowship with Jonathan, your best friend. You were demoted and lost your position in the army. The next thing you know, you're a fugitive running for your very life from an insane king who is determined to take your life. Yet even as you run from your enemy, you continue to carry yourself very well. You spare his life when given the opportunity to kill him, when he's virtually handed to you. You show compassion when dealing with others, when you could have destroyed them out of hand. You even continue to seek God's direction for your life, believing that someday his promises for your life will be fulfilled. But then, one day, something changes. You awake as usual, but somehow the world looks different today. For the first time, it looks like God has forgotten all about you. It looks like your enemies will eventually prevail. You become discouraged and disillusioned, and you find yourself trapped in a pit of hopelessness. While you're in that state of despair, you make a foolish decision that alters the course of your life, brings troubles that you could never have imagined, and leaves yourself broken spiritually. That, in a nutshell, is the life of David up to this point. He was on the fast track to the kingdom, but now he's a fugitive on the run. And our text finds David hunted and discouraged and defeated. That's where we find David now. Through his all that he has gone through and has been traced down and chased down by Saul and seeking to do what was right, he's got to that point of discouragement. And discouragement's leading to despondency. And despondency's leading him to despair, which is leading him to depression. And he finds himself in the pits. Have you ever had a day where you felt like life is just the pits? Like, you know, this day, just all that I've gone through, so I'm like, this is hopeless. David trying to do what was right. He was trying to honor God in the midst of it, and Saul keeps chasing him down. Things don't seem like this is ever going to be resolved, and things keep going from bad to worse. And David's at the point of his life now. He said, I don't have any other option but to give up. And so we see in verse 1, that he had a conversation with himself. And he said, one of these days, I am going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. One of these days, it's useless. I can't win this battle. So he decided he's going to escape, and he's going to retreat, and he's going to go to the land of the Philistines, the enemy, and he's going to live there. And he spends the next 16 months of his life in the pit of depression and discouragement. And you say, boy, Dan, this is a gloomy message. But you know what? Sometimes as Christians, we can feel pretty depressed and discouraged, can't we? We can have bad days. Even as Christians, there's times we can feel discouraged or down, where the situations of life and all that we're going through, we feel like I just can't handle it anymore. And even Christians who love God can have fits, can times where we feel life is the pits and discouraged. And those times of, well, that what I do? So let's look at this life in this chapter and discover together some principles we can apply to our life. And why is it that David got to this point? First, let's see the reasons David fell into the pit. What was it that got him to this point? The reasons that David fell into this pit of this depression, of discouragement, of hopelessness, where he felt everything was against him, that no matter what he did, he wasn't going to make it. What was it that got him to that point? Well, one thing was, first was he lost his focus. He lost his focus. Verse 1 says that David had a conversation to himself. He thought to himself. Now, he began to talk to himself in his mind. He began to think. And as he was having this conversation with himself, it didn't go too well because it was going to lead him to take a wrong turn. Because he looked around instead of looking up. And in this conversation with himself, he said, "There's no way I can win this battle." He said, "One of these days, Saul, I know for sure I'm going to be killed by Saul. He's going to come and he's going to kill me and my life is over." He looked around at the situation he's in. He said, "There's no way that I can get out of this." He felt it looks hopeless from my point of view. From all I can see around me is there's no escape. And he looked around, but one place he did not look, and as he looked in the situation, was he did not look up. And you'll find in this chapter, till we get to the end, you'll find in this chapter, nowhere in this chapter, David looking up to God. He was looking around at his situation from his point of view and from his perspective. He thought, "I'm in a useless, hopeless situation. There's no way I can get out of it." Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes we lose our focus when we start looking around at our circumstances and our situation, and we don't look up to God. And when we're looking around from our perspective, yeah, things will look pretty hopeless sometimes. But when we look up to God, that's where the hope is. But David lost his focus because he looked around, not up, but he also listened to himself and not to God's word. Because in this conversation with himself, he said, "I know that one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul." And he had convinced himself that God had forsaken him. He had convinced himself and listened to his own thoughts that there was no way out. It was hopeless. And that God had abandoned him. That God wasn't faithful to bring about what he had promised. When we listen to our thoughts sometimes, our thoughts can deceive us. And they can always make us think, you know, God doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what I'm feeling. He's abandoned me. He's not going to be able to bring me through. And we can convince ourselves sometimes when we start listening to our own thoughts, we can convince ourselves, you know, boy, it is pretty bad. But he listened to that and he said, "I know that I'm going to be killed by Saul." God had told him when he anointed him with Samuel, remember? Samuel anointed him and said, "You will be what? King," remember? And then Jonathan said to him, his son, he said, "I know that you are going to be the next king." Abigail, we had seen last week in the chapter that Abigail, God had revealed that to her and said, "I know that you are going to be the future king." Even Saul himself had knew it and had known that and declared that you will be the next king. So God had told him time and time again that he would be king. But he lost his focus and he listened to himself and instead of God's word. Can't that happen to us too? And we can get convinced by our own thinking that God doesn't care anymore. Or he's not going to help me through this. And we can lose our focus. And that happened to him. But he also lost his confidence. Verse 1 then says that as he convinced himself in his thoughts that I'm going to die by the hand of Saul, the best thing I can do is he come to a conclusion. He said, the best thing I can do to get out of this is just to run, to leave Israelite territory and to go to the Philistines, the enemy's camp. He said, I'm just going to leave and go to the enemy's camp. Remember, it was Goliath was a Philistine from Gath. And he's going to go to the territory of the enemy. He said, I'm just going to forsake. I'm just going to run away. And he didn't have confidence that God was going to be with him. And God was going to be able to protect him anymore. And he lost his confidence. And he thought, all I can do is run. And that ended up leaving him falling into this pit. But notice, secondly, as he fell into this pit, the depths in which David sank into the pit, the depths David sank into this pit, as he fell, he got deeper. It was like falling into quicksand. And that as he fell into this pit, he began to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into this point of discouragement that he'd think, boy, he didn't know if he was ever going to get out. He took that first step of what I thought, well, God's forsaken me. He's not faithful to do what he's promised, so I'm gonna run away. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go to the Philistines. So he began to live among them. Let's pick up the story. Verse 5, David said to Achish the king, if I have found favor with your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So from that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. And David lived in Philistine enemy territory for a year and 4 months, 16 months of his life he lived in this pit. But notice what he did when he got there. He sank deeper. Now David and his men went out up and raided the Gergesites and Amalekites. And from ancient times, these people lived in the land extending from Shur to Egypt, the Bible describes. But whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or a woman alive, but took sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and others, and he returned to Achish. When Achish asked him, where did you go raiding today? David would say, against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jezreel, or against the Negev of the Kenites. But he did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, this is what David did. And this was his practice as long as he lived in Philistine territory. Notice how far he sunk, that he began to form these raiding parties and going out and raiding people for no good reason, and then killing them and taking their property for himself. And then covering up and killing anybody to cover up what he had done as he sunk deeper. As he sunk into this pit, he lost his credibility. Verses 2 and 4 say that as he made this decision to retreat, his 600 men went with him as long as his wives, they had trusted him. And they had trusted David had been teaching them in the cave as we had seen. He had taken these men and had taught and invested in their life as we had seen, and they were willing to commit and to follow after him. And so his decision affected them, and they trusted him, and they followed him there. But then turn to chapter 30 and see what happened. That as he lived his life in the pit, David and his men reached Ziklag, and on the third day, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. We'll come back to that. And they attacked and burned it and taken captive all the women who were there, both young and old, and yet killed none of them. But when David and his men came to Ziklag and found it destroyed by fire, their wives and their son and daughters were taken captive. David and his men wept aloud until there was no strength, and David's wives had been captured as well. But David was greatly distressed because the men were thinking of stoning him. It got to the point that these men were starting to turn against him. He had lost his credibility with them because of the way he was handling and how he had lived his life up to this point, what had happened when this hopelessness had taken him over. He had lost his credibility. His decision didn't just affect him, but he also lost his convictions. Verses 5 to 11, as I just read, described how David went on this raiding thing. And he said, boy, I've done what God wanted me to do, and look where it's gotten me. So he's just going to go out and raid people, just take what's theirs, kill them, kill the innocent, and take it for himself. And he lost his convictions at this point. And that's where he felt, what's the use? I tried to live for God and look where it's gotten me. And he just threw his convictions away. And that's where that hopelessness took him to. It took him to a very low point in his life. And he also lost his voice. Verse 7 says that he lived there in Philistine territory for a year and 4 months, or 16 months he dwelled there. And if you would go and read and study the life of David and the context of the Psalms and the book of Psalms and their content, you will find that in these 16 months, not one single psalm of praise or song was written by David. During the 16 months, he had lost his voice. He had lost that joy and that hope that he had in the Lord. And the great singer of Israel became voiceless. And that led him that deep point to where he couldn't even express praise or gratitude in his heart to God anymore. He had sunken so low. You say, why? Because he lost his focus. And he thought that he couldn't get through. And he also lost his identity. They didn't know where he belonged anymore. Verse 12 tells us that Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so odious to his people that the Israelites, that he'll be my servant forever. As he went and he dwelled among the Philistines, he became hated by Israel. And if you read and go on to chapter 29, the Philistines are getting ready to go into battle against Israel. And they come to Achish and they say, we don't trust David. He's slain Goliath. And why do you have him living with us? We don't trust him. He's going to turn against us and fight for Israel. And the Philistines didn't want him there. The Israelites didn't want him. And he felt like he was a man without a country. He didn't know where he belonged anymore. And he lost his identity. He lost who he was as he sunk deep into this pit. But the good news is, after 16 months, David had gotten to that point where so low. And what brought him to that point was chapter 30. That one day he was returning back from these raiding bands that he was going on. And the people he would raid were not enemies of the Philistines at all. But he would give the idea to Achish that he was going in Israelite territory, but he really wasn't. He was raiding. He wasn't being honest. But he was returning back from one of these raids and come home from Ziklag, and he found that the city, as they come across the hill, the city was burning. The Amalekites, who was one of the people that he raided and killed everybody in their towns, came in and burned the city, but notice they didn't kill anybody. They had more mercy than David himself had done. And they burned the city, took everything they had, took the wives and children away. And when they come home, he found out his wives and family were gone, the city was burned, and his men turned against him. And that got him to the low point of his life. He said, this is where life in the pits have gotten me. And after 16 months there, notice what happened in verse 6 of chapter 30. He was bitter. The men were bitter in spirit towards him. David cried out. He was greatly distressed because they were thinking of stoning him. His wives had been captured. And now, finally, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. What got him out? The third thing is the lift that David received out of the pit. What was it that got him finally out of that pit of discouragement and depression and despair, thinking that he wasn't ever going to make it through? The lift that he received out of the pit, we find that he finally looked up to God once again. He looked and found his strength in the Lord. After he had looked around in the situation himself, after 16 months that way, he finally turned his head up to the Lord and looked up to him and said, you are my hope. You're the only one that's going to get me through this. You are faithful. You will take care of me. And he looked up to God. When we look back up to him, that's how we begin to climb out of the pit. And that's how we are just lifted back out and put on that feet on that solid rock. And he relied on God's strength again. Verse 30 said, he found his strength in the Lord his God. When he realized that when he tried to do it on his own, that it was only leading him deeper and deeper into the pit. But when he found his strength in God, he knew that no matter what, he was going to get through this. No matter what, these days would pass, the cloud would be lifted, and the sun would shine again. And things would look beautiful. And he trusted in God's word again. Verse 7 and 8 of chapter 30 says, David said to Abiathar the priest, he said, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord once again. And he said, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he said, for you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue, which he later on did. But he again trusted what God's word had to say. He looked to God's word for the answer, and he trusted what God had to say. And then was lifted back out of the pit. He was able to go on after this experience. When God brought him through and lift him out of this 14 months of despair to write on and say in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard, turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire, and he put my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand and put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. He again got his voice, and he was again able to praise God. There's times we all feel like life is a pit, and we all fall into those pits from one day or another at times. But we don't have to stay there. The good news is there's a hand ready to lift us up out of that pit and put us back on the solid rock. Again, aren't you thankful for that? And Jesus, when we look up to him, will reach down and lift us out of that pit. No matter how deep we sink into it, he will lift us back up and put us on that firm foundation out of the mud and the mire and on that rock that we can sing once again. And the great singer of Israel got his voice back, and he was able to sing and praise God and see that, yes, the clouds will pass and God will do what he's promised, and God is faithful. So when we feel life is the pits and we look around, let's look up, because greater he is with us and he will do what he's promised us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our hope. And at times we can look around, and when we look around sometimes instead of up, we can begin to have the feeling that things are pretty hopeless. That things are pretty dark. But they're not. The sun shines the dark through the clouds. And you're always there. When we look up to you, we find that the sun's always shining. We find that you're always there for us. And that you are faithful to your word and your promise, and you're faithful to us. You will never forsake us. You will not leave us or abandon us. But Lord, when we lose our focus, we begin to think you don't care. We begin to think that it's hopeless, it's useless, but it's not. The victory's already been won in you and through you. So Lord, help us to regain our focus, like looking up to you, by not listening to ourselves. The devil can twist our thinking. The devil can deceive us. The devil likes to discourage us. But to listen to your word, to your voice, because your voice is the voice of truth, and you will never lie to us. You will never deceive us. What you say, we can believe. And Lord, when we do sink down deep, help us to look to you once again and to look up, knowing that your hand is right there, always reaching down to lift us back up out of that pit and to put that song back in our heart that we can sing again, that we can rejoice again and find that joy that is always in you. Thank you, Lord, for David's life, because we learned so much from him and how to be a person after your own heart. And through all that he went through, you called him a man after your heart and all that he experienced. And Lord, we can relate to him so well, because we all go through these same kind of experiences in our life too. And we want to be people after your heart, people who desire you more than anything else, who desire to honor and praise and glorify you by who we are and how we live our life. So Lord, thank you for the promise and the hope that we have to your Son and lifting us up when we reach out to you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.